B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Please go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Stream us there, but also download our app where you can listen to our podcast and stream us as well. Sunday's loss was pretty bad for the Patriots. It's now entered the conversation about which loss is the worst regular season loss in Bill Belichick's coaching history and career in New England. Where does it rank? And I guess, you know, I don't know if we're going to do full rankings, but is it the worst? Does it deserve to be in that conversation?
Does fourth and two in Indianapolis throw it in there, or is that just a good back and forth game?
I don't think it does because you're playing a good team.
It's a well-played game.
You're playing a good team. I think the worst losses are against...
And you're trying to win the game there.
The really bad teams. Like in 2010, when the Patriots played at Cleveland, and the Browns were 2-5 coming into the day, and the Patriots were 6-1, and they let Peyton Hillis run all over them, and they gave up 230 yards rushing on the ground, and Brian Daboll was losing his mind on the sideline. That one to me is in this conversation of, ooh, that's a really bad loss. But if you look at that game, the Patriots offense wasn't totally horrific. The defense was.
How about week 17 last year? Miami.
In the conversation.
Both ways. They couldn't move the ball, no. And they got smoked on defense. That's a good one. And it killed. Think about the implications of that game, too. You lost the bye. That game made you lose the bye. You had to play the next week, and you weren't ready to go. That game affected them. Absolutely. That one's in the mix. Who else? I think T-Bone brought up Redskins. Redskins back when Colt McCoy was quarterback, right? Gronkowski fumbled that game. There's some bad ones. What are we missing, folks? You got some out there.
Yeah, there's got to be a bunch.
Detroit a couple years ago?
Always bad when
week three,
lose to Detroit.
Detroit.
Never good to lose to those guys.
I mean, but
they suck.
You get
historically,
the doors blown off.
As in like always. Right?
Yeah, you never lose to that team.
I'm not taking the bait on that.
The mortar kick game?
See, mortar kick game was a bad decision,
Eagles.
But I don't know. Like, that wasn't a horrible team, was it?
They had to storm back in that game, remember?
Yeah.
No.
What?
The Eagles, that was a bad loss. EDP loved that one.
Yeah, not a great day, but I don't know. It feels like Sundays is pretty bad because they were lacking on the coaching front. Like, where you see things, you say, what's going on? Again, that question about is Belichick losing his edge? Is Belichick losing the fastball? Is he getting old? Is he not as sharp as he once was? Those are legitimate questions after the game. I don't remember us ever doing that before. Remember the second guessing.
When's he ever gone into a game, though, not have the ability to one-on-one coach people personally? Like, was that an outlier for him? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you did it. By his choice, shut the building down. We're not going to practice. We're going to elect not to practice. And I trust you guys here. Yeah, we're going to be smart, we're going to meet, and we're going to Zoom. Damn it, this week, we're practicing this week.
That could be one of his mistakes, by the way.
Right? Well, right, and that's what I'm saying. See what he does this week.
But that doesn't speak to, you know, the cheese slipping off the cracker. You know, that is just, that is a strategic mistake as opposed to, maybe the game is starting to pass him by a little bit. Look, I don't know how you can't legitimately, and I heard Felger ask the question at the top of his show yesterday. I thought it was... A legitimate question, like you just said, Beetle. It is fair to question how he's handling the game when you don't challenge that James White play, when you go for two in that spot, when you seemingly don't have an answer for the juggernaut that is the Denver Broncos.
Got smoked on that timeout at midfield.
You can't figure out a way to keep them, you know, to force them into, you know, some three and outs instead of going down the field. at least four different times to kick field goals on you. And even if you give them the field position on a couple other ones, they were moving the ball sometimes on you at will. And I couldn't do anything in the red zone, and I'll give them credit where it's due, but you can't figure out a way. The one-on-one time doesn't help Cam Newton, who seems to want to throw balls into the upstretched hands of defensive linemen. I mean, that's something that you have to work on in-game. And so I know you always say that the in-game adjustments are important. The halftime adjustments are overrated, but make some adjustments in the game. And maybe make some calls differently in the game. I don't know that it changes much, but a team well-prepared enough should have been able to beat that team. Yep. There have been some other bad losses. That one was glaring, though.
You should have been able to roll out of bed against that team.
There was nobody saying that the Broncos, even on the... It wasn't a realistic possibility that the Broncos were going to fly in here and win that game easily.
Even on Denver.
It was easy.
Even on Denver and Yahoo Land out there, I did two hits on Denver stations out there last week, and both of them were of the phrasing of, tell us how we have a chance in this game. You know, gets a great head coach with our young quarterback. Explain to us how we're going to be in this game.
I mean, there are some other ones. They lost in Buffalo in 2011, Zoe. Remember the loss in Buffalo in 2011 when they were up 21-0?
Yep.
In the second quarter, and Buffalo came storming back.
Was that the game?
I go all the way.
By, what's his name, Ridley? Plopped it on the ground there. At the 50, they scooped it up and scored. Steven Ridley just dropped, fumbled it.
I'll look it up.
Whatever.
I think you're right. Mm. The other one that I look back on is the 31-0 loss that they opened the season with in 2003 when they got shut out by the Bills to open the year.
Yeah.
I mean, you look back on it fondly now, like, oh, you know, that was they hate their coach, and obviously they didn't, and, you know, they turned the tables, and at the end of the year, they beat them 31-0, like in a complete reversal.
Oh, that's right.
Right? They're sort of like that nice symmetry that goes on there, but that was a bad loss. So I think all those are sort of in this conversation, but I don't know that in any of those games you look back and say, wow, the coaching. What's going on with the coaching? Is everything all right there? Is everything good? Granted, they also don't have Tom Brady as their quarterback anymore. That's something to consider too, and they really don't have a lot of talent on offense. Let's not forget all of these factors. They don't have anybody. What?
Nothing.
What are you laughing about?
Nothing. Just keep talking. Nothing. We talk about their talent. Limited talent. What?
I want to know what we missed.
There's nothing. There's a picture that popped up and it just made me chuckle.
There it is. Well, what?
What type of picture? What type of picture was it?
Tell you what we're going to do.
From the Super Bowl, Jim Gray and Fred Toucher, or Fred just closed his eyes.
Okay.
Fred looks like he wants to go hide and just bury himself somewhere.
Let's get your calls on this. We got full lines. Want to get your calls coming up next. That's exactly what we'll do. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is.
It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's not his best one.
Well, we got to mix it up, bro.
This would be like, okay, hey, you're DJing at Foxborough, but we want you to play Rick Astley. This is what we play.
They'd go for this track. And everybody would be like,
party, right?
Pretty much sounds on Sunday like that went. Never Gonna Give You Up guy, but I don't know the song.
It makes you say, I hear music, but what the hell is that?
Let's go to your phones. Thank you for hanging on, Pat and Franklin. Take it away.
Hey, guys. How you
doing? Hi, Pat.
So, here's why the Bills still win the division, even though they played like the Bills at the end of the game with those two stupid penalties. The Patriots are starting to look like the Bills from Sunday. Mistakes, poor coaching, no weapons. You know, McDermott, he benched two starters on defensive line to send a message. And they still had a good game plan, even though they got gashed on the ground. They're down 6 with the ball in the fourth quarter. So people would be praising him of how, you know, they pulled off this great win against Kansas.
Well, wouldn't that be something?
You know what I mean?
But they didn't.
Right. Imagine if, like, they hit a ball or two and end up winning that game. Say, oh, it's great.
If Cam Newton crosses the goal line in Seattle, we'd be giving them a lot of praise for winning the game. But
is that the fact, or should Vic Fangio be hung on a cross because he threw the ball downfield twice with 2 minutes left? Like, whoosh, let's chuck it. Let's go. Let's not throw a high percentage throw. See, like, we would throw the ball to end games. There's ball. You look at Patrick Mahomes yesterday. You put the ball in his hands to make a smart decision on an underneath throw or take off with your legs. Parcells would always we would do this situational coaching end of game offense, and we would throw the ball, but it'd be like ride 138, bang the fullback in the flat. It'd be like, or the tight end on a quick button hook, boom, 5 yard pass. We'd never go over 10 yards ever at the end of the game. You'd still throw it. You might have to pick up a 3rd and 2, 3rd and 4, but it would be bang bang, man, in and out, get the ball out. That stuff was crazy. Down the left sideline, then down the middle of the field into triple coverage. Woo.
The other game last night, Cowboys and Cardinals. Mabel, what'd you think of your Cowboys?
Hi.
Hey, what a blessing it is Dak got hurt. Huh?
A blessing in disguise.
You know what?
Congratulations.
Thanks.
The blessing.
I'm running out of people to blame. I don't know who to blame anymore. I'm just wondering if Dak were playing last night, if we would have won. I don't know. At this point, I don't even know if he were playing, we would have won.
Well, I would have much rather have seen that than what you saw.
I mean, do we give up right now?
Yeah, quit.
I mean, we're in first place.
No. I mean, your division stinks. You're in it.
Do you mean like in general, in life?
Yeah, or you're in it.
In football?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're in first place with the suckiest division and the suckiest record.
Well, it feels good being first place, huh?
And if going forward, if any indication of the game last night, we're not going to beat Washington on Sunday. I mean, what is going on?
Yeah, that's a game now.
Yeah, you will.
That's a game. That's going to be a close one.
You'll win that one.
They should.
Is Alex Smith starting?
I don't know. Is he?
I just remember watching that on TV when they went to him and he went in and just the reaction. But
you're
I didn't
with him.
I didn't watch him play.
It's
a leaky leg thing. I can't.
There's no indication that his leg is leaking.
It's a lump in.
You just keep saying that. You just keep suggesting that his leg is leaking and there's a drain.
I bet he's got a drain.
Why don't you find out if there is?
I don't want to know that.
Why don't you ask?
I can't.
Find out.
No.
Bob and Ashland. Bob.
Real quick. Sorry, Bob.
Hold on, Bob.
Did you hear the broadcast last night when it was Lewis Riddick and Levy and Greasy, and they were talking about Dak? He's through the woods because he passed the state of infection, the most dangerous part of the week.
Yeah.
Which means when they put the screws in, that's the infection. No, I get in there, got a cleany leg. So when they stabilize the leg and it's in that halo and they just screws these, the skin's not.
Well, that means that he didn't get an infection, though. It means
the bone didn't take infection from the metal.
Right. That's good. It means he did not have anything get infected. That's good.
They got a cleany leg.
Yeah, cleany leg. Bob and Ashland. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Is everyone asleep this morning? Hey,
Bob. It's the weather. Hey. It makes everybody tired.
What's up, Bob?
You all right, Bob?
What are you doing, Bob?
Yeah, here's my question. I know it's hard to be critical of the Patriots team that's been to the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game seemingly every year.
Yeah.
But myself and my friends in the second half of the dynasty have sat back and wondered after the draft and after the first few games of the season, why can't the Patriots draft immediate impact players like all the other teams do?
Who said that? Your friends?
It seems like the first two rounds of the dead zone, and everybody who we draft needs at least a redshirt freshman year before they get into the starting lineup. is there any explanation for this? Or, I mean, I know Cesario is still with us, but it seems like a lot of people under him have departed. And I'm just wondering what you guys think of that.
Bubbling brook, too?
This is the most pleasant thing I think I've listened to in like 7 years.
You want Bob to do some books on tape?
Hey, guys. Just talking to my friends about the first two rounds of the draft.
Okay, to get to his actual question, though.
Yeah.
This is a bad year to do that for any team. There was no offseason.
Well, what would you do
there
if, was you were, no, if you were
There was
Cesario.
No rookie camp. There was no mini camp. There were none of those things. Bill Belichick has said they're behind on the rookies.
Yep.
There are some questionable picks over the years, though, in terms of Patriots' draft history and Belichick's draft history of bringing guys in that make immediate impacts.
And when is he a rookie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's making an immediate impact.
Oh, Duggar.
I'd say he's made an impact so far. So that's Duggar's the first pick.
Maybe the tight ends aren't the right tight ends.
Seventh or eighth pick. But.
Maybe the tight ends aren't the right.
How about N'Keal Harry and Jo'Wan Williams of a year ago? They did not make immediate impacts.
Fair.
Isaiah Wynn certainly did not make an immediate impact.
Oh, he got hurt.
Sony Michel.
Impact.
Impact. Duke Dawson. I don't even want to address it. They didn't have in 17. They didn't have any first or second round picks. In 2016, the second rounder was Cyrus Jones. Definitely not an impact player out of the gate. 2015, Malcolm Brown and Jordan Richards. At least Brown played.
Oh, my, that's right. We haven't seen Uche yet.
Dominique Easley in 14, certainly no impact there. Garoppolo, backup quarterback, hard to address that. Jamie Collins and Aaron Dobson, second-round picks in 13. Jamie Collins made an impact right away. What are you doing? You hot? Oh. Like, what's going
Couldn't
on?
Couldn't wait.
Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, impacts right away in 2012. And the further you go back, the better this list gets. It's really about the last 7 or 8 years that you have those questions, because in the early going of Bill Belichick, I mean, every year there was someone getting drafted. Damian Woody was a starter right away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, he didn't draft Woody. That's before him. Richard Seymour was a stud right out of the gate. Matt Light was right behind him, right out of the gate. The following year, Graham, Branch, those guys played right away. Ty Warren played right away. Eugene Wilson played right away. Will Fork and Watson, they were playing. They were making an impact right away. Logan Mankins, that was true of him. Lawrence Maroney, Brandon Merriweather, Mayo. I mean, all those guys played right out of the gate and made an impact. That has happened less often in the back half of the dynasty, as Dan told us. He's right. It's not. It's a first half versus second half. Anything else, though?
No.
Okay.
Garoppolo. Imagine I mean, if it trended right, I mean,
why
that could.
You know what? Now that you've done that, why is it hot in here? Does it feel hot in here?
It's hot.
It's hot in here too.
That's what else,
it's first day since I've been in this booth that it's not freezing in here.
It's like balmy hot. I get swept between my legs.
Oh, I have to share that. Aaron is in Norton. Aaron.
Hey, so one of the previous callers brought up that Matt Ryan could end up back in San Francisco, but the other thing that's happening is Minnesota is probably going to fire Zimmer, it looks like, and they might blow the team up, and Shanahan really loves Kirk Cousins. So they could get Cousins back or Matt Ryan, not just Matt Ryan.
Oh, my God. Do you know what a gift that would be to the Vikings if the San Francisco 49ers came along? And we're like, yeah, we want to trade for Kirk Cousins. That contract extension, I should say, for Kirk Cousins back in March is going to kill the Vikings. It's brutal. Not good.
No. 28, was that 28 guaranteed for what, 4 or 5?
Oh.
All up front, fully guaranteed.
And Mike Zimmer is now apparently...
He's on a hot seat.
On the hot seat, and also there's, you know, stories coming out about how he never wanted Kirk Cousins on the team and things of that nature, trying to cover his own ass. Dennis in Rockland. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi, Dennis.
You know, Bill is such a great coach that he does get a pass for a bad game. But when he's looking around and seeing Izzo out there and his Sony Michel and N'Keal Harry, he has to be going to himself, who's the jerk who drafted these guys? And then he goes, oh, wait a minute, it's me. So when you say they don't have anything, the reason they don't is on account of him. And he has to take the blame for that.
Yeah. Bill makes final call on roster. Yes. It's his oversight. Yeah. I mean, Casario will produce the players for him. He'll give him a grouping of them. Then Bill selects the ones he wants. Final call on all roster decisions. Yeah. I said, we can blame him, but we can also credit him for like the draft class that he picked 2 years ago, where he hit on a lot of guys. Now we're just sitting here talking about a week ago, you know, how productive that class is and how they're starting to produce. You know, again, I go back to last week. Why'd Winovich only get 20 snaps? Like, how's that happen? You know, some people went back and looked at it, and he ended up on his butt because they put his hand down. He was an interior guy, but he's 250 pounds. He's not an inside guy. Maybe she got a bigger guy. But Bo Allen's on injured reserve, right? I don't know.
Some bashing of Cam Newton has been going on the last couple of days.
Today, this morning. Started this morning, I think.
Oh, okay. Little Cam Newton bashing is going on. That and more your calls on bad Patriots losses over the years as well. Which ones stand out to you, and is this one a high-ranking one on your list? It is for me, for coaching purposes. It's a little weird. We'll get back to your calls coming up next and more on Cam.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Smells like a barn in here.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Let's go back to your phones. Bruce in Miami. Hey, Bruce.
What's up, gentlemen? Lifetime Fins fan and Terp alum, and enjoy your show from Enemy Lines. Real quick, this isn't why I'm calling, but I got a game for your list. In 04, the Pats were 12-1, came down here for Monday Night Football. We were 2-11, and A.J. Feely and scored two touchdowns in the last minute to win 29-28. I figured that may qualify.
Ooh, I got one. 2 years ago, the Gronkowski. That one.
End of the
miracle
season?
Miami.
Yeah, the end of the year.
Yes. Yeah, but we were better at least then. But I mean, back
we were
then,
better then, right? 11,
you guys are 12-1 with our orange uniforms on Monday Night Football.
Oh, God, I remember that.
Yeah. So before I get to my point, real quick, did you guys see Romeo Crennel going for two up seven with a minute 50? That to me makes apps. Why not go up eight and force them to go for two? I mean,
insane.
They should probably should interview Jack Easterby for that one. Yep. Easterby probably gave him the code red on that one.
They prayed on it that morning.
Yep.
That's what happened.
Yep. Jesus wrote it in
the
forward.
We took some fellowship to try and divine what we should do in a situation like that.
Corinthians 14:13-4, right?
Yeah. Thou shalt go for two. Dennis is in Rhode Island. Hey, Dennis.
Yeah, guys, what's going on? This loss reminded me of the loss to the Cardinals in 2012, back in week
field
two.
Goal, right? They missed the field goal, right, at the end?
Yep. They ended up losing that game 20-18. Now, Brady, the offense looked much better, but just kind of the same idea, opponent coming in that really had no business being here on a 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon game, and they just outplayed you.
That's a good one. That's a good one, Dennis.
Yep.
Gostkowski shanked it at the end with the chance to win it.
Is that when Vollmer broke his leg? I think he got rolled up on behind. Snapped his leg. Ugh, nasty.
As we mentioned earlier, there is some Cam bashing going on. Let's hear from Dan Orlovsky. You mentioned this to us this yes. morning, Zoe. Let's hear it.
But watching Cam yesterday, he just looked slow. Like, oof. You just, from the first pass of the game, just what was going on with the inability to get through some progressions, get the ball out of your hand, find an open receiver? And I'll go back to that fourth quarter scramble with like 9 minutes left on the clock. Like, the understanding that no one was getting open against an underrated Broncos secondary, go make some explosive plays, scramble around, because I think while I want to preface my comments with the reality of the situation, the Patriots yesterday are who I thought they would be. They're an average offense that is going to have to play really well to have above average production. In 2020, if you cannot be explosive on offense, you cannot hang in the NFL. There are two explosive plays yesterday where a Cam scramble and a trick play. That's who the Patriots are going to be this year offensively. It's going to be so hard because if they're not absolutely ridiculous with their efficiency, they can't create chunk pass plays.
RC, I can't make...
Okay. I think it's extreme to say that they're going to need to be, you know, sort of a trick team and be perfect on offense, because they beat the Raiders, and I thought that was one of Cam's, if not Cam's, worst game. Week one against Miami, they had a great formula to run the football and do different things running the game and then hit a pass or two. That was good teamwork. It wasn't like they were perfect, but like those are two wins right there. Those are their two wins. Yeah, they're 2-3. And they didn't win with exotic offense or track meet offense. You know? So I think they can win. Yeah, but their defense, I think, has to play perfect. Like, defense did enough with you. As much as you look at that Denver team and say, oh, you gave up this or that, you held them to all field goals.
Yeah, you didn't let them in.
That's
the
enough
end
to win. That's enough to win on defense.
No, but I think what Orlovsky is saying is that for the offense to function routinely, regularly, every game.
Yeah, I
am. And you get the run taken away, you're sort of screwed here.
Yeah.
In the passing game, you're going to have to be absolutely perfect. You're going to need some of those trick plays. You're going to need to do all of this.
Bedard's in today with the afternoon crew, right? 2:00?
Yeah.
I think so. Sure. Yeah, I think he wrote on that the guys were wide ass open. Some guys on the outside when he went back.
Well, that's time. Interesting.
Because I don't remember a ton of guys being open. But, like, I'll miss some stuff because I'll watch Flight of the Ball, or I'll be watching coverage, or I'll be watching Rush. So sometimes I miss some of that stuff. But, like, Jim was screaming in my ear. Ossie was open on a couple, and boy, did he miss them.
Connor in Seattle. Hi, Connor.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hello, Connor.
Talking about worst Patriots losses, how about 2014 Week 4 Monday Night Football against the Chiefs? They got blown out.
But that was a good team.
We all remember
that game. We all remember that game and how a lot of people's attitude changed, mind did on the Patriots and what their chances were. But you didn't lose to a bad team.
Lose to a bad team, but you got blown out by a good team, and everybody looked horrible in that game.
Yeah, players looked really bad in that game. The offensive line sucked in that game, and as a result,
Brady
sucked in that game too.
They did. It was a bad game, and it was a bad loss. And I don't put it on the same par as with getting. The only reason why you were in that game on Sunday, I mean, using that as the baseline, using that as the benchmark for this discussion, the only reason why you're in that game is because they threw back to back picks. Otherwise, you weren't even in that game on Sunday.
I can tell you why.
Against a bad, bad team at home.
That Kansas City loss felt the worst. One of the worst feelings as a fan, though, because it had been a decade since they had won. They had consistently gotten close and then came up short. And, you know, it was sort of like a, where is this team right now? And it definitely didn't feel good. That's the, is the window closing?
Mm.
And I said, it looks like they're never going to get back to what they were. That's it. You know, Brady's not going to play forever. Who knew that 6 years later, Brady's still playing and playing well? Here he is, into his 40s, well into his 40s now.
How about this news down in Miami?
What news?
About Tua. Tua's going to be named the starter moving forward.
Here. I didn't know that news.
Yeah, Tua. And I'm looking at Fitzpatrick's stats, and they're not bad. But, like, there's a guy, a journeyman, veteran guy that could throw the ball over the lot and function.
I gotta say, it's a bit of a ballsy call. I actually like it. I respect it.
They're in first place and 3-3.
Well, they're second place.
Second place.
Behind the Bills.
3-3, though.
So they're a second place team. They're in the mix in their division. And
I think it's time.
They're not going to worry about where they are in the division. They're worried about their next 5 years and not the next, 5 weeks.
So we know what we got in Fitzpatrick.
Really sort of like that.
We know what we got in Fitzpatrick. It's time to upgrade the position, but
if Tua's playing well enough in practice and they think he could be better, they absolutely should go with him. Get him the experience.
I'll just say that. What if Fitzpatrick's out there at the end of the year? Is that a guy you would want next year to be in the mix? That's another bridge here. But guy can throw the ball.
Doesn't excite me.
Statistically, look at his
stats.
Or
Hardy, you can pay Cam $30 million today. You doing it?
Cut a deal with Fitz for eight, or you want to pay?
For how long?
2 years.
2 year deal.
2 years, $55 million for Cam.
No.
Two years,
$15 million, Fitzpatrick.
No. 2 years, $450 for Cam. 15. Would you do it today?
Pardon me? No.
50.
No. And
his number went down a little bit.
What about your argument a week ago? Who else is going to be the quarterback? Whoa.
That's why I'm offering 2 years at 45. 22.5 a year. That's all you're getting.
22.5. What's he buying? A new car? Does that come with a clear coat?
Pandemic. Take the pay cut.
I know that clear coat comes straight from the factory.
We've never done this before.
Well, I tell you what, he never done this before.
617-779-0985. There are more of your calls on the way. By the way, the punishment for the Titans doesn't appear that it will be harsh. Were you tweeting something about that last night?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Peter. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Robing over here.
What's that?
Just robing over here.
I'm sending a...
It's like strip poker, trying to take off as much as I can underneath the table.
As I speak, I'm submitting a help ticket. Is that what you call that?
It depends on what you're submitting. I don't know if it's called a help ticket or not. What?
I'm submitting a ticket to the help desk for the HVAC.
Help.
Mine's been 75 degrees in here. I propped open the studio door. I think we're having that problem again where nothing works.
The ventilation is a double issue these days,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I don't want to let that, linger.
I told you, it starts smelling like a barn in here. That's when you know. It's like the mix of wet hay and...
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Yep.
Horse manure.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot.
Okay, I sent it to the help desk.
How long? I'm sure they'll get
right
on that.
Is that in the building?
Yes.
Why did you just walk down there?
Because I don't have time. I just asked T-Bone, who's here? Do we know?
Technically, there's protocol you have to follow, Hardy.
And we got an email like a week ago that told us stop just searching people out. Send an email to this specific email address.
Yeah, God forbid you get to the root of the problem.
God forbid you follow the rules for once, Hardy.
What the hell's corporate Louth? What's he doing back there right now?
It said, if you have an issue, just send this email to this email address because all the IT and technical people and engineers will get the email.
I saw Charlie's here today. Boysenberry's here.
Josh got some. I lost my swipe card. Josh got me another one. They're down there getting stuff done.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've now been alerted that it's, I wrote it, 75 degrees in here and nothing seems to be working. Thank you.
I need those mic.
I need those Michael Scott pants that convert into shorts.
And the temperature is rising by the hour.
I'll fashion these into a
warm and sleepy, and we have people that keep calling in that are making us even sleepier.
That guy made me so tired.
Send help.
Hey. So the ticket is submitted. All right?
You submitted a ticket.
A ticket.
Hi, rabbit. Where are you?
99 bunny rabbit.
The help desk has been alerted. Okay? The help desk is on it.
Hardly, sadly, not a lot of people know that.
No.
And I are. What were you yelling?
I was just laughing because a week ago, Florio. Oh, wait until you see the penalties are going to be handed down here. Those Patriots violations are going to look like a parking ticket. No, Titans complied. They found violations of not having masks on. Said they're going to fix that. They worked with the league, and ultimately they're going to just basically get a small fine and not really going to get the death penalty like we thought.
The Titans may be fined.
Full future games, ramifications you've never seen before.
Says they may be fined, but no one will be suspended, and the team will not be stripped of any draft picks, according to multiple reports.
What's Pro Football Talk this week? Shh. Nothing. Florio was way ahead of this one. Let's just get a chuckle when they can. You know, wait and see this thing. League's going to take care of them. No. They're just trying to practice. Trying to get their timing down. Kind of worked out for them, huh? Sorry. I did.
Nick is in Walpole today. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. What's up? Do you guys think it's safe to say that N'Keal Harry is a bust? Because he's had like 168 yards through 5 weeks, which is worse than he was doing last year. And last year he was pretty bad. So
not yet.
I think it's probably safe to say.
Not yet. And I say that because he missed an entire half a year last year. You didn't have an off season, even though he did work out on his own. You didn't have games to get ready for in the preseason. He's still a young player, and I think he needs those type of games. N'Keal would be one of those second-year guys that needs the games, or maybe a guy like Winovich doesn't, you know? Or maybe a guy like Calhoun doesn't. I can't call him a bust yet. I think there's still value there. I think he's got size. He's got athletic ability. They need to figure out what the hell he does and what he does well and make him use it. You know, you had a team coming in here this weekend. When we start talking about them, that uses misdirection, reverses, and actually uses their receivers like Hayuk, Debo. They are extensions of the running game. They'll hand them the ball on sweeps, on returns, and all that stuff. Jet sweeps, reverses, because they like to incorporate them into the running game because they got speed. They're fast.
I'm close to calling him a bust. Because I have a hard time understanding how at any point he's going to look like a first-round pick is expected to look. Because I don't think he's ever going to be that.
Yeah, but I mean, we do the comparisons of those drafted around him or after him from a year ago on NBC Sports.
What's wrong with that?
They put the graphic up, and the big disparaging statistic there was the amount of games. Like, all those guys played double the time.
Oh, dude, what do your eyes tell you, though? What do your eyes tell you when you watch all those other guys?
They're good. They produce. You know? Bust is a big word.
He's playing. Here's the other thing that he's getting, though. And right now,
he got nobody knocking on his door.
You can talk about his missed time last year. Is he getting any lack of opportunity right now?
No, he's
getting tons of opportunity. He's got no one that's even challenging his spot on the roster, or really, more importantly, his spot in the lineup.
See, that's the sad part of training camp and preseason games, is those are there to create competition within the roster. You're supposed to bring in multiple bodies, so everybody pushes each other. Like, the competition is so bad, Jakobi Meyers backed his way onto the roster. He wasn't supposed to make this football team. He shouldn't have made this football team. You know, all the stuff in camp and how slow that guy looked and non-explosive, yet he's on the team. Healthy scratches. See, N'Keal's not getting pushed by anybody. Who's behind him? Who's his backup? He didn't have one.
He doesn't have one. There isn't a backup.
He's out there by de facto. Like, you're forced to play him. Bust is a big word, though. That's a dangerous word to throw around. I'm not there yet. I'm with you. Waiting. Better get going.
He's teetering on it, man.
I think you decide that by the end of this year, and maybe you move on if it ain't right.
I don't think they will. I think they'll hang on for dear life and hope for the best and hope that he turns into a player. Aaron Dobson, was like hurt in year two. Remember that?
Yeah.
Came back for year three, and he played in like half their games, and he then was done after 3 years.
To me, I feel like you got more out of Dobson than you're getting out of Harry.
Who's the other guy we're thinking of? Taylor Price.
Price from Miami of Ohio.
Right.
Yep.
Another guy in that sort of category. How many years did he last?
Another Mac receiver, right?
2 years. He was out of here in year two.
Yep.
Man, he did nothing here. Nothing at all. Damn. Brutal. He was a third-round pick. A little bit different, Taylor Price, than Dobson. Dobson was a higher pick. Jackson. Jackson's another one. He hung around for a few years, but he never did anything.
Yeah, Malcolm Mitchell killed him. Like, that they may have finally hit on one guy, and then the knee fell apart.
Chad Jackson, they dumped after 2 years. He only played in two games that year, though, that second year. And then he was, I have the right guy? I have the right guy there. Yeah. So, I don't know. Worth keeping an eye on.
It's like funny. You get it. I just remember when I first got into the league, I had Irving Fryer, Greg McMurtry, Mike Timpson, and Hartley Dykes. Hartley Dykes was like, he was such a badass coming out of Oklahoma State. He had a towel he wore on his back. It said, bye-bye. I said, what the hell is that for? He was just some DBs look at me when I run. Let's see, bye. Like, that's badass. I like that. I'm like, this is great. NFL, man. It's Irving Fryer right there. You come in here and say, oh, there's Julian Edelman. He had that one catch in Superman. That guy's badass. Edelman's your lone badass right now.
And he's not looking very badass.
All right.
Not because of anything. He's
I'm getting tired of the people that question him as far as, like, look at the look in his face. Like, he doesn't want to be there, or he's disengaged, or he's not into it. Have you not seen his look like that before? That is anguish. That is frustration. That guy's not mentally checked out. That guy's in pain. That guy's trying to give you everything he can on one leg. So stop with the, it just doesn't look like he wants to be there. He misses. No. No. He can't do much. And it's killing him.
Tommy Curran asked a question on NBC Sports Boston today. What trajectory are the Patriots on? And it's an interesting way of looking at it for the Pats. We'll tell you more about that coming up after headlines, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.